Hydra. Church, we will continue to do what we promise. We will continue to keep you updated. Pastor Ken and Jane probably will be back here sometime this year, I would think. And they're going to give you the update. 28 or so showed up for their first meeting. They have launched. They got their youth pastor in place because Cross Point Church seeded a financial blessing into that ministry to allow them to advance the gospel at that generation in that community. Boy, that just makes me excited. Yep. It's nice to be a part of that. Pastor Ken and I talked just last week, and he was just like, he was just over the top. As you can tell in the video, he's got a lot going on, and he's just over the top excited. He says, I just cannot believe that we have this program, and there's so many people that showed up. So, church, I am humbled to say thank you very much for your continued support, and thank you again. And if God lays something on our heart to do again like that in the future, we will run with it. You okay with that? Yes. You are a blessed church, and we're going to continue to bless, because if we're blessed, we're going to bless, right? We just got to let loose of things, right? That's what we're talking about in the series, Let Loose, unleashing what God has reignited in your life, right? And we launched this last week, and we talked about unleashing is the movement, which I talked about here a few minutes ago. Now, if you want to follow along, don't forget, church, you can check out the sermon notes on the Church Center app. All of some detailed notes I have put in there, you can watch and follow along. You also can follow along this coming week on the daily devotional that we do each day, Monday through Thursday. You can check the Church Center app and do a devotional with us each day on the message from today. So we will continue to do that as long as you are continuing to follow along. We will continue to put that out there. Last week we talked about Come Forth, was the title of the message. Come Forth, right? We talked about the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. Right? We talked about the context of the story is death, but it's really also about identity, right? Jesus called out his new identity when he called him out of the tomb. I've got a new assignment. It talks about recommissioning him. Jesus called him out of the tomb and he recommissioned him, right? He gave him a new identity. He was already friends with Jesus, the Bible said, right? But I've got something else for you to do. See, church, you may feel like you're in the tomb. You may feel like you're dead, but Jesus just may not be done with you yet, right? You may have a mission that's just sitting there waiting for you, and you just need to get up and start moving forward. It is a movement, not just a moment. What would have happened if Lazarus would have come out of the grave, stood there, and the grave clothes come off, and Jesus makes this declaration, let him go. He's got work to do. The Bible says he said, let him go. They got the garb off of him. He says, let him go. He's got faith. What would he have done? What would we have done? What the story would look like if he would have stood there and never moved? And never walked into his new commissioning. Right? See, Jesus never extended Lazarus an invitation to be resurrected. He didn't say, I'm going to give you this. It was a command to awaken his identity, authority, and purpose. His identity. He's a friend of Jesus. The authority was he's going to be a walking sign and wonder. There are walking signs and wonders in this church, and you just don't know it, but here in a few minutes, you're going to find out. It was empowering a purpose in his life to draw people to Jesus. Because every time they saw him, they said, that's the guy. That's the guy that Jesus raised from the dead. I know that guy. I heard that story. My friend was there. Jesus did it. It's true. Jesus raised him from the dead, and he came forth, right? He was recommissioned. God calls for those things binding us from advancing be loosed, and those things deposited into us be used for his glory. And that's the story of Lazarus, right? Let him go. He's got things to do. And last week, we did the same thing. We commissioned the church to come forth. And we all agreed together. We said, I am coming forth. I refuse to stay where I'm at. What God is reviving, he will now release inside of me. God is setting loose in my life a new identity, a restored authority, and a spirit-empowered purpose. Now what do we do? And that's the title of today's message. It's entitled, Let It Flow, which means let it fly. Which means no holding back. You know, you hear the phrase, no holding back. You know, I'm a sports guy, right? And we would talk about this like all the time. We'd say, don't hold back. The phrase would be like this, let everything out, just let it all out on the field or on the court. When you come off that court, it wasn't about whether you won or lost. It was about you, whether you gave it your 100% all. You know, it kind of dawned on me, you know, just thinking about it right now, it's not my notes, but I remember the story about this athlete in high school, and I'll try to remember it on memory, and I'm not as young as I used to be. I know you think I am. And the memory is kind of challenging, but it goes like this. There was this young athlete, and she was, you know, high school, and she worked for 4 years in high school trying to get to the state championship as a runner, right? And so she's like a cross-distance runner, you know, cross-country runner. And so that's grueling. I can't even think about running a mile or two, let alone however long they run in high school. But she's trained, and God love her because it took her 4 years. And in her senior year, she makes state championship finals race, right? And she's running, and she just knew as she started to run and she's going through, you know, the competition's different, right? You're at that level. It's a much different competition. And I remember the story that something along this lines that she wanted to quit. And she thought it was more important to finish the race and be dedicated to the finish as opposed to being dedicated to the victory. So she gutted it out. As she starts to cramp up and she's hurting and she's an 18-year-old high school student and everyone's running and it's hard and it's grueling, but she makes the finish line. And they said to her, how did you do that? And how it was not about the competition. It was not about, it was about the race. It was about getting through and getting to the finish line. She didn't win. You're wondering if she, no, you wish the story was she won the state. She didn't. She didn't come in second. She didn't come in third. And she didn't come in fourth. She wasn't top 10. And she didn't care. Because you would ask her, the testimony was, I finished, and I left it all out there. No holding back. I did what I could do to the level I could do it. My training, I did everything I possibly could do. And just because I didn't win the race didn't mean I didn't give it my all. Right? No holding back. What a story. See, people don't hold back, I think, when they know that moment really matters. Like, you're in a situation, I don't think we necessarily hold back and say, I don't want to do it. I think we actually do give it at all, right? I think we really push forward. But what about our spiritual lives? You know? Some of us are walking through life holding back worship or holding back our gifts or our talents, our love, or even holding back a testimony that you have in your life, but you're not telling anybody. We're holding it back. Some would rather be safe than vulnerable. God is looking for people who say, the moment matters and so does the movement. It's not about being reckless, it's about being willing. God moves after surrender, not before. God wants us to surrender. It's a supernatural release. And let me give you the quickest example I could think about. You know, it's like when I've used the example before, it's about giving, like tithing. Right? It's about being blessed. And we wonder why finances aren't blessed, because we don't have a supernatural release on our finances, and we're not giving like the Bible says we should give. We worry about retirement, we worry about all these things, but there's a supernatural release there, a let loose, no holding back. Give to the kingdom of heaven at your local church, the Bible talks, right? To give to, this is about you. It's just an example. And then when people finally say, Pastor, I'm going to give in. I'm going to, no holding back. I'm going to do it. I got to do the right thing. Their lives get transformed. And it's not just finances. I'm just using that as a quick example. It's not like it's buried in my notes. I'm just giving, you can name the examples. Many of us are testimonies to those examples. I'm going to give it my all. I'm not going to hold back any longer. I'm just not. I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't want to stay confined to our Sunday experience any longer. There's a river that needs to be released. We need to let the Spirit of God flow freely in us, through us, around us, and beyond us. It's the beyond us, church, that we get challenged with. But it's the beyond us that has the most effect. Okay, we can have God do everything for us, but if it doesn't go beyond us, it's not touching anybody else but you. It's the beyond that makes us vulnerable, right? Because our faith is sometimes determined by how others see us. That's the perception, and that perception often requires permission. Listen, too often people only give themselves permission to flow in the Spirit or worship freely or step into their calling if they believe others will approve of what they're doing. If they don't believe others will approve, they won't do it. Even if God is hammering us, this is what I want you to do, if we feel like intimidated or the perception would be people won't approve, they don't do it. So we actually ask for permission from ourselves and maybe even others before we move into the things of God. Because we look at the perception of other people as the gauge as to whether God is going to let us move. Church, you don't need permission. Right? God's given you the permission. Right? But when you let perception control that permission, you end up living restrained and not released. Now, I know I'm talking to people because that's your pastor from many years ago. I didn't want to walk up to an altar of the church in 1991 and get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we'll talk about in a minute. I'm younger. That was intimidating, but I said, no, I'm going. And it was a moment that changed my life. God poured out his power, and I've never been right since, right? I've never been the same, right? He set my hair on fire, right? See? You know I'm speaking the truth because look at me. Church, God didn't call us to move when it's safe. He called us to move when he speaks. He didn't, and we don't need to ask for permission. We need to stop waiting for everybody else to validate what God has already anointed. We don't need to wait, right? And God set this whole thing up from the very beginning. Let me give you a little bit of a not a history lesson, but a Bible lesson. You okay with that? Just a little foundation, just to make sure you understand what we're going to talk about today, right? Okay. Romans 8:9 says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. That means you got to have God's power, right? You got to have God's Spirit in your life. At salvation, God comes and dwells in you. He takes up residence. He takes up shop. He comes into your life. You've been changed, right? Then the Bible says you're sealed by that Spirit, right? Ephesians 1:13, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit. That's my guy. That's my lady. And you know it because the power of God flows all through them. I can recognize my own. I can recognize my sheep. They're on fire for heaven. They don't need to ask for permission from anybody. They're going to do what God's called them to do. Now, there's structure there. God talks all about that. And we move in structure in God's house. But there's times that God just makes us move, right? Then the Spirit shows up, right? The Spirit of God. We're sealed. But let's talk about here before I jump in. Let's talk about how that works. Let's talk. Now, when we get saved, there's a couple processes here, right? There's a regeneration process, right? You're just changed, right? You're just different. Pastor, you're just different. Love it when people tell me that, right? Pastor Brad, you're just different, right? Okay. I haven't heard that before. You're just different. I said, well, I'm just different, right? That's the regeneration of power of God. That makes you the new person, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what? The new creation shows up, right? Just scripture says, the old's gone. Thank you, Jesus. And the new's here. You've been changed, right? You know that. The second process shows up, sanctifies you. You become in the process of becoming more like Jesus. It's a lifelong process, right? It's work in progress, I call it, right? We're all in the sanctification process, more like Jesus if you've accepted Christ as Savior. 1 Peter 1:2 says, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be the obedience to the Jesus Christ. You're going to be more like Jesus, and you're on a mission. It's a lifelong mission. Then the third thing, there's a further experience. We call that, which I just mentioned, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? Good Pentecostal people we are, Acts 2:4, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. The Bible says, as the Spirit gave them utterance or the ability. Say it's not so, right? Say it's not there. It's there. It's there. We're not going to hide from it, right? I'm not going to ask for permission to use the gifts that God has given us, right? Why do you want to say things in the Bible didn't happen or they're not accurate, right? There are movements in our world today that says that's not right. That's not accurate. Well, then explain to me why it's in the Word. Explain to me why so many people witnessed it. And then they wrote it down. That's how they did it back then, right? They didn't have the fancy technology that we have today. They had what's called an eyewitness testimony. And that eyewitness wrote it down. And today we read about it in God's Word. That's how they did it, right? So that's what happened. And so God lays this foundation for us. Those disciples were saved. They were ready to go, and God's power pours out. We just had Pentecostal Sunday here a few weeks ago. You know about that, right? That Spirit was released in them. It loosed in them. And then they went out to spread that word throughout the countryside. What happened? The power came into them. It gave them boldness, the Bible says. And it gave them the third thing, and it gave them overflow, which means beyond them. The Spirit came in to go beyond them. It wasn't just for them. And I am the recipient, and many of you are as well, because it kept going on and on and on. People kept letting it loose, right? God kept moving. It wasn't just the moment he showed up. He showed up for the moment, but he showed up for the movement. And the movement is still going on. And I don't know, church, maybe you don't realize that, but the movement's bigger than ever. It's more powerful than ever. It's moving more mightily than ever. No matter what you read, God is moving more in my lifetime than I have ever seen. And I grew up in the Jesus movement. Movement. And he is just moving. So let's give you some clarification. It goes like this. Salvation puts the Spirit in you. Spirit baptism lets him flow through you. One gives you the identity, that's your salvation. The other gives you boldness, that's Spirit baptism. And that's just the beginning, church. See, God never intended his Spirit to enter you and not flow from you. If it was not intended to flow from you, we wouldn't be here today. They would have had the moment back in Acts chapter 2, and it would have ended. Because there would have been no movement. But we have movement. Why? God let loose his Spirit, the Bible says. And he ignited those people. He unleashed it. And those people got ignited, and they got reignited. In church, that's been going on for centuries. John 7:38 says, and whoever believes in me, rivers of living water, movement, will flow from them, within them, right? It just comes out. It's just a movement that shows up, and it just keeps going and going and going. It doesn't stop. Don't you want to be around somebody that has such a movement in their life of the Spirit that just doesn't stop? Right? Don't you want to be in that? I tell you what, church, when you see the power of God show up in Cross Point Church, and it becomes a movement. It's a moment at times. It's a movement over here. It's a when it becomes what we call a corporate movement, and that's what you talk about. That's what people see a lot of times because that's what you hear about on college campuses throughout the United States, throughout the world. It's becoming a movement that they're seeing and paying attention to. It's always been there. It's just now being noticed more because the non-believer is starting to watch and say, what is going on over there? As soon as they show up in the moment, the movement gets a hold of them. And once the movement gets a hold of them, they can't just leave it in a moment. Because the moment doesn't satisfy them any longer. It has to be the movement, because the moment doesn't quench the thirst. It's got to be a movement. And when the movement keeps going, they keep going. And the Bible says it'll go like a river. And you'll have rivers coming out of you. That's loosing you, igniting you, right? Unleashing you. That's the part of the series. Don't you want to live there? See, church, when you believe in Jesus, the Spirit doesn't just touch you. It flows from the depths of you. You become a conduit of God's Spirit, not just a container. The moment's the container. Pastor, I got myself something today. I said, wow, you're living in the moment. What happens tomorrow? I don't know, God hasn't got me that far. So just be a part of the movement, right? Don't be the container. Be the conduit, right? See, church, there comes a time when God has placed you where God has placed you becomes too powerful to stay silent about. You got to say something, right? I can't take it anymore. You got to talk. Some of you are more of that than others, right? Got to say something. You become that conduit, right? And there comes a time when God has placed you in, when he placed you in this situation, becomes too powerful to stay silent. You become revived. The moment gets a hold of your heart. Then you become filled. Now it's time to let it flow. No holding back. I want a church filled with people that says, that's who I am. That's what I want. No holding back. I want to let it fly. I don't care. I don't need to ask for permission. It's okay. Let it go. I got a testimony to speak of what God's done in my life. Let it go. Don't hold it back. Got something to say, Pastor. Look what God's done for me today. Jeremiah 29 says it like this. His word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I couldn't hold it in any longer. Is there anybody like that here today? I just can't do it. I just can't hold it in. You know, sometimes though the sin of silence shows up. The sin of silence. Pastor, why do you say the sin of silence? God wants you to say something and you're not saying it? That's a sin of silence. You are God's ambassador to say something. And when you are silent, you are sinning. Because God had you say something. And now we say nothing. Psalms 32:3 says, when I kept silent, my strength was dried up. Well, maybe it's because you're doing the sin of silence. You got something to say. God's reigniting you, unleashing something in you, and you're not doing it. It's like this power welled up inside of you, and it's not being released. And it really makes you like, that power is going to wear you out, right? It just wears you out. God's got something in your life that he wants to unleash. You don't need to ask for permission. So there's three quick things I want to review with you today. Three quick things that happen when you don't hold back. When God's got something in your life that you've got to do or say, and you don't hold back and you let it go, you let it fly, no holding back, leave it on the field, leave it on whatever. There's three things. The first thing, it reaches somebody. It just gets to somebody. And I thank God every day that it got to me. It got to me. Because of somebody else. It got to me. And because it got to me, it may have been getting to you. And then because it gets to you, it's going to get to somebody else. And it gets to somebody else, it's going to get to somebody else. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Right? Because somebody says something. They heard it. I heard Lazarus got raised from the dead. I didn't see it, but I heard it. I got my friend who was there. The testimony was this. Let me explain it to you. Jesus, this guy, Jesus screamed, come forth, and he comes out of the grave after 4 days. It's true. And then I was over at the coffee shop, like I mentioned last week, and there the guy was sitting there having a cup of coffee. He's alive. It reached him. story after story, church. In Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40, it won't be on the board. It's too, we got a lot of scripture. I'm just going to give you a paraphrase. It talks about Philip and the eunuch. Now, this is shortly after Stephen was martyred, killed for the cause. A revival breaks out. A movement is happening in Samaria, all places. Go figure. And there's an outbreak of power. And Philip is in the moment. And God lays on his heart to move. Physically move. Whoa, I'm in the moment. There's a lot going on here. You're showing up, and I'm going to dispatch you over there. There's a revival here. Don't you understand? There's a revival going on. Yeah, I understand. That's why you're going over there. I'm going to send you over there because you're my ambassador. I'm going to send you to that place over there. There's a person you got to talk to. That's a story, folks. It's exactly what happens. So Philip leaves into the desert. He comes across the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, this is a guy that's one of the high officials in Ethiopia. Now, Ethiopia back then is not exactly like it is today. Ethiopia back there is like southern Egypt, northern Sudan area, a little bit of the modern-day Ethiopia. But this guy is a high-up official. I believe that he is in charge of the treasury, right? For all you Bible scholars, is that right? Right? So he's high up, serving the head lady, Candace, right? I believe that's the story. Going on my memory, haven't read that for a long time, but I'm just giving it off the top of my head, but I think that's what it is, right? So he runs into this guy, right? And he's reading a book. Does anybody know the book? I'll let you do that on your notes. I'll let you do that study. Check my notes right now. I'll give you a minute. Right? He's reading the scriptures. Something about Isaiah, maybe, right? Maybe it's Ezekiel. No, it's Isaiah, right? Is that what it is, LG, right? Isaiah, right? See, she's reading ahead. Thank you, LG, right? Thank you so much. But he's reading. And there's a question. He says, I don't get it. God sent me over here to talk to this guy who just doesn't get it, doesn't understand. That's what the scripture says. I'm just paraphrasing. That's what it says, right? So it's reaching out to this guy that is an official in this mini kingdom. He's traveling to come, 1,000 miles to figure out some answers? That's what the Bible says. It's a long trip, church, from Jerusalem to southern Egypt. It's a little bit of a jaunt, right? It's a few miles. Maybe 1,000, it's a few miles. Back then, in biblical times, it's a jaunt. It's like today we hop a plane, we're there in 1.5 hours, right? Back then, that's the edge of where the word's going to get. This guy's going the other way. He's coming in to check it out. God sends him over there and says, listen, I'm going to reach one guy with you, and you're going to tell him and start having a conversation with him about what this word really means that he's reading about. And so he has an encounter with him. God used one guy from a moment, let him loose, and sends him over into the desert to meet a guy that was coming into town. That is you, church. That is you and I right there. And the Bible says he was so impressed, and like the light bulb went on, he got baptized. They didn't call for signups. They didn't pass out certificates, right? He didn't call into the crowd and say, come. He's just right then and there. And the Bible says they went on their way. Church, the word reaches people when you let loose, right? The Spirit flows outward to draw people inward, right? What else? When the Spirit of God flows beyond us, it restores people. In Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10, there's the story of the dry bones. Ever hear the story? It restores people. It restores. When it's let loose, that spirit moves and restores. God takes Ezekiel in a vision to the valley of dry bones, scattered bones, dead bones, disconnected bones, right? I'm not reading it this morning. I'm just giving you the paraphrase. It's a dead place. It represented death, a disconnection, right? God shows him this. He gives it to him. And God says, do you think those bones can come back to life? And Ezekiel says, only you know that. God, only you know that. Check my scripture, but I'm sure that's what it says. Only you know that. And so God says to him, listen, I have an assignment for you now. I want you to speak life to those bones. Right? Is that the story, folks? Speak life to it. So he speaks life to it. And the bones begin to rattle and shake and do all those things and start to reconnect. And flesh and bones get the back together. And they're restored. But there was something missing, the Bible says. There was no life in them yet. So there's people, but no life. And so the conversation between God and Ezekiel is, you know, he says, well, listen, you got one more thing to do. You need to let loose the spirit in them. You need to let loose the spirit. What does that do? That's reigniting something that was dead and buried. Let loose the spirit into them. He says, okay, I'll do it. I'll speak the spirit of God into them. And then as soon as he did that, the Bible says they came to life. They came alive. And the scripture in Ezekiel 37:14 says, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. Because a man let loose and it reignited dead bones. See, the Spirit flows into broken places and makes them whole again, church. That means a marriage. That means a life. Your finances, your job, whatever, you put it in there. And it needs the ambassador that let loose in that family to speak life in that family, in that situation. That is you, the church. Right? When the Spirit of God flows beyond us, it revives. It revives. Mark 2, 1 through 12, let me paraphrase the story. And many of you know this story. What a story. The teacher shows up and starts teaching in the house. The crowd starts to swell. It packs the house. The surrounding around the house, it's hard. It's a lot of people, right? Jesus is confining himself to inside this home. Couple friends get together and they want to take their friend to get him healed. He's paralyzed. They take him in, but they can't get him there because it's too many people. Remember the story? They get on top of the house and they cut a hole in it. And we're going to lower our friend on a gurney type thing or you know, whatever. They're going to lower him down in front of Jesus. We'll get him there because we know if we lower him down, Jesus will heal him. He'll have compassion. He'll heal him. Talk about being revived. So they did that. And Jesus, what did he do? What did he do? He healed him. But he also made another declaration over him and everybody. I also forgive you of your sins. That created a little controversy, right? They didn't care. They wanted their friend healed. They knew if they got him there, Jesus would let loose and reignite him. Why? Because that's what Jesus does. Mark 2:12 says it like this. This amazed everybody. And they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. You know, church, we hear about this all the time. Wouldn't you like to have a living example? Somebody coming down of the roof, paralyzed, dying. That set the house at Cross Point Church on fire? Would that make you believe anymore? Would that let loose your faith to say, that's got to be me too? I could be me. They came to hear a teacher, but they left witnessing a healer. That man's breakthrough turned a crowded house into a house of praise. Is that what it takes? Is that what it takes in our house? Could that be here? Could God open the ceiling at Cross Point and say, this is us? I say yes. I say yes. I know a lady. For years and years and years, struggled with situations, but maintained the faith. And God continued to let, I don't need to talk about this. I tell you what. Jeannie, why don't you come up here and tell your Cross Point Church family what God does.
Thank you, Pastor. Is this on? I know you probably find this hard to believe. Hey, my name's up in the back. Oh, no, not, I didn't mean that, but.
Hold your microphone up, Jeannie.
I will. I will remember this. I always have a hard time with mics because I feel that they prohibit me from doing some of the things I would like to do. But Pastor Brad asked me, I spoke with him earlier this week. Thank you. And I have a testimony for you this morning. And if this testimony doesn't get you excited, I'm going to come down and help you. I had to see a neurosurgeon in Cleveland because I was having severe headaches. That started in January, and by May, I made an appointment. And she ordered an MRI for me on June the 24th, checking for another brain tumor. But I will say to you this morning, when I had that MRI, it was an experience I've never had before. They took me in, put me in the MRI, sent me back that little round hole and positioned me so they could do my MRI. And the guy said, I'll tell you when we're going to start. And he said, okay, we're going to start now. And when they started, now they put earplugs in. They put these things that muffle all the noise because MRIs have a tendency to be noisy. But when he said that, something came through the top of that MRI tube. And it slipped its hands underneath the back of my head where my tumor was before. I thought something happened to the machine because something was messing with my head. But it didn't take me long to realize that was the hands of God. Yeah. I begin to feel his presence and his power started at the top of my head, in the back, and then it wrapped around my head. That happened the entire time I was in that MRI. And he never left me. He held my head. And then all of a sudden, all this power, I could feel it dramatically. It started in my head, ran through my entire body, got to my feet, and then suddenly it was back in my head again. it's hard for me to talk about this because I've yet to, it hasn't even been a week since I got my MRI finished. I can only just tell you what I felt. But the entire time, I thought, God, what are we doing here? And then all of a sudden, I told Pastor Nicole, I said, from the bottom of the MRI began to come the most beautiful praise and worship that I have ever heard in my life. They began to sing. And they were down at the bottom of the tube. And those were angels praising God and worshiping God. I was in the middle of all of that. Well, the MRI was over. It seemed like it was like 10 minutes, when in fact it was a lot longer. Before I left the hospital that day, I want you to know, I hardly ever had a day that I didn't have such severe headaches, and it affected my vision, so I wasn't able to drive or go many places. But I put up with that for a long, long time. By the time I got out of the hospital, the headache was gone. No more vision problems. My vision came back to normal. I think that really blew my mind, because I was only just maybe 5 or 10 minutes, Pastor. And by the time I got outside, I said, Robin, look at those clouds. Those are the most beautiful things. I could see very clearly. I had my 20/20 vision back. So on June the 24th, 7 days after my MRI, I got a call from the office, and they wanted to give me the results of my MRI. And here's what they had to say. Four things, not just one, four things. The first one was, you do not have a tumor. Hallelujah. Second, the tumor you had for the last 26 years is gone also. It was part of the brain where they couldn't do any surgeries because it would be harmful for me and I would lose something. So when Robin and I, When we were coming back from the hospital from the MRI, we agreed in prayer that part would be removed as well, to prove to me that God did remove a brain tumor, and he removed what was left on that brain tumor, the other brain tumor, so that I would know that he moved mightily by his Spirit. And I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, you're hearing a miracle today. It was a miracle. Well, number three, they said to me real quickly here, they said that if I lived to be 100 years old, I would never have another brain tumor. I didn't mind living 100 years old. That was something really, that's a word, that was a strong word they put into me, because I won't have to worry about that anymore. I felt like that word came from God. And number four, they said that morning when they were reviewing my films, that it appeared that I had a new brain. I mean, that's really exciting. For me to be up here this morning before you is such a privilege, and I thanked Pastor Brad immensely. I'm a new person. I am a new person. And of all days that I could stand before you, of all days that I could be up here and share this miracle with you, today is my spiritual birthday. 56 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus. And I'm here to tell you today, he has never, ever, ever left me. It's through thick and thin, he has always been there for me. Even in the MRI. You see, Pastor said something this morning that just made me think real quick, and I got to make sure my time isn't up. The old is gone and the new has come. We still serve a God who does miracles. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. May God bless each one of you today. But remember, God does do miracles.
Hallelujah. Hold on there, Jeannie. You're going to need that. Stick around here for a second. Get that microphone back. Jeannie, you had said today is your spiritual birthday.
Yes.
So, and how many years again?
56.
Hold the microphone so they can hear you. 56.
I'm sorry, 56.
So, in that 56 years, how many surgeries have you had?
32.
32 surgeries, right?
Yep.
I'm worried about going to surgery tomorrow, right? Lord, forgive me, right? You've had 32,
yep.
But you're not having 33.
No. No more.
Not.
No more.
You know, church, not only does God still do what God still does, it's mm-hmm. not in the moment, right? It's the movement.
Yes.
She could have given up years ago with surgery number one or two or three, you name it, right? And she stands here today to give the testimony because this is a soul that's been reunited, right?
Yes.
Give her praise today, church. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Church, this all started for her many, many years ago, 56 years ago, when she did a declaration with heaven. She made an agreement. The agreement was, Jesus Christ, come into my life. She had no idea that she would have 32 surgeries after she did that. And G and I go back a few years. I remember years back when Cole and I came to Calvary Church on the other side of town in 2018. We were looking to pastor that church, and they were having a meet and greet that night. She was checking us out. I may want to go to this church, but I've got to come and get to know you first. That's completely fine, right? Guess what? She's still here. She's still here. Thank you so much, Jeannie. She doesn't plan on going anywhere, but it started when she said yes to Jesus. And I couldn't close this service, church, without asking you to bow your hearts and that there's somebody here that says, I want what she has. I'm going to give you that opportunity before we close. So, church, do me a favor. Bow your hearts, close your eyes, and if there's somebody here today that says, Pastor Jeannie, I want what they have. I want what you have. I want that power. I want to be set free. I want freedom in my life. Give me that. All you have to do is when I ask, you just raise your hand and say, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And maybe in 56 years, you'll be given the similar testimonies that God sustained me. God kept me. God was there every single time. I'm let loose. It's not just a moment in time. It's a movement in my life. If that is you today, slip your hand up. I just want to pray. I'm not going to call you down front. Thank you so much. People waving their hands in the back. I see one, two, several hands in front. Anybody else, if you, that is you, and you want God to be in your life, just raise your hand. Thank you so much. Anybody else? All right. Thank you. So we're going to all do this together. If that was you, we're going to recite a prayer today, church. So I'm going to ask you just to recite after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I need to be let loose. I need to be set free. I don't want just a moment. I want a movement in my life. Lord Jesus, flood me. Take over me. Consume me. I commit my life. I'm yours. Set me free. In Jesus' name, amen. Give him praise today, church. Hallelujah. I don't know, maybe it's just me. I feel like I've been in church today. Don't you dare do what I said this morning earlier. It's not just a moment in time, church. God just blessed us. What an orchestrated message. When God laid this series on my heart, I had no idea that Jeannie would be healed and set free. No idea. I've known her a long time, and she seems that she's battled things, but God has set her free. When you have scientific evidence that confirms the move of God, God doesn't need that. God doesn't need the permission of the doctors. He can do whatever he wants to do. But you know, now they have imaging that says, boy, that brain from that MRI doesn't look like the same of this MRI. That line isn't that line. That bump is not that bump. It's completely changed. It's different. Church, the only reason that she come up here today, she had a word to say, but she's been saying a word all along, all the years. My point is she's letting loose of her life, and she's doing exactly what I've talked about today. She's not holding back, are you, Jeannie? No, she's not. God's got something more for her. So I'm going to make a declaration with you before we leave today that I want us all to recite, just like we did last week. I just want you to recite. It'll be on the screen behind me. I've held back long enough. What God put in me is coming out. I will not live silenced. I will not die full. No more holding back. I proclaim the Holy Spirit to flow in me, through me, around me, and beyond me. Give a praise, church, today. Hallelujah. Stand with me. The church at Crosspoint, we're set free. Give it glory.
The Spirit of the Lord.